Welcome back to Prime Your Midlife. And today we're focusing on nutrition. I'm your host, Chris Wilson, and today I'm joined by Margie Chavas. And she's a nutritional kinesiologist, and she will help us understand about parasites. Parasites that lurk within us and could be causing us harm, distress, irritation, and pain. How do they get there? And most importantly, how can we get rid of them? Enjoy the show.
Welcome back to Prime Your Midlife. There's been so much recently talking about gut health and glucose monitors, and I'm here today to try to maybe put a couple more layers on that and enable you to actually take some action based on something that you are thinking might be wrong with you. And to help me do that, I've got Margie Chavas here today. Welcome to our screen today, Margie. How are you?
Really well. Thanks very much, Chris. Thanks very much for having me today.
Well, we're going to get straight into the detail, and I'm going to kind of play with a similar format to what I've seen somewhere else. We're just going to ask you some questions. And the only rules that you've got is that you can ask a question back, or you can answer me with yes, no, or maybe. Are we okay to play with that rule?
Okay, we'll give it a go.
All right. So, Margie, is it fair to say that I have got living inside me some parasites?
Most likely.
And those parasites, can they be good for me or bad for me?
Both.
And once I've got a bad parasite, let's say, can I get rid of it?
Yes.
Could I get it rid of it by going to see my GP?
Possibly.
Would you suggest that there are better ways to get rid of that parasite other than going to see the GP?
Yes.
And if I don't fix the parasite, could it make me dive into some very scary long-term conditions?
Very much so.
Wow. All right. I'm already intrigued. Margie, we've obviously come across each other in a networking format, and I've always liked the tone of your rhythm, and you've always intrigued me. And just looking at the sign of things behind you, anybody that is listening, Margie's got a banner behind her, and it says things like gut issues, irritable bowel syndrome, stress, Parkinson's, asthma. And these are some really debilitating conditions that people have. And Margie, would it be fair that most people generally would go and see the doctor when they feel they've got one of those things wrong with them?
Oh, definitely. And I would probably suggest for 99% of people that that should be their first port of call. But if they're not getting the results from there, then I would also encourage them to keep looking for a result.
And let's just say I go and see the GP, and obviously I'm a complete advocate of all aspects of health, both private and public. And that GP says, yep, here is some medication, take this for 2 weeks, and assuming nothing else happens, then I don't want to see you again. Would that be a good solution for you?
For the person going to the GP, would that be a good solution? Depends what the problem is, which is a bit like how long's a piece of string, isn't it? But some if it's a parasitic type of thing, it can manifest as a gut issue, and then actually taking something which is just killing it off luckily is absolutely fantastic, superb. That could be a very good solution, but there are other ones which are far, far more difficult to get rid of. And you can think that you've got to the bottom of something and then it just flares up again because actually you've just knocked it on the head and made it a bit cross. So, yeah.
So assuming an antibiotic treatment was something that was given, can you just explain what happens with the antibiotic in terms of getting rid of the thing that perhaps is causing the problem for the patient? What happens to our whole internal gut system when we have an antibiotic?
Okay, so an antibiotic, normally they give a broad spectrum antibiotic, such as amoxicillin, something like that. And that is, it is an antibiotic, so it's killing bacteria, right? So a parasite isn't bacteria, a virus isn't bacteria. But why sometimes the antibiotic might work is because you'll find that the parasite, the bacteria, the virus, the mold, they can all work together, all right? So you kill off the bacteria, and this point I'm about to make is a really important one, is that your body wants to do the best it can for you, given the circumstances that it finds itself in. So it will repair itself if it's got the space to do that. So if you remove, let's say you've got a plethora of different things and you've got an antibiotic going in there, it will kill the bacteria aspect of it. And that might be sufficient for your body then to really attack the virus, to really deal with the mold, to actually get rid of the parasite by itself. But it might not be. Okay, so you take the antibiotic and it goes into your gut. And we know a lot of much more over the last 10 years, probably, about our gut health and what else is going on in there. But what I don't think is really generally thought of is that the gut microbiome isn't just bacteria. There's other things in there as well. And they all work together and they're symbiotic and they help make stuff for us and make us feel well. So if you go and upset that balance with a broad spectrum one, you're killing the bad, but you're also going to be damaging some of the good. So then that gives space in your gut for other things to grow because they've got the space in there, because they've got the extra food coming down that you're very kindly feeding it. And then you can be creating more problems. And if that's repeated time and time again, that's where you can get longer term gut issues. Hope that's not too detailed.
No, I've kind of got a picture of almost a forest canopy, and there's a really big tree in the middle of it, and it's providing all the growth for itself. And then suddenly, you know, we chop that tree down, and then it gives space, environment, light, and opportunity for lots of other species to suddenly create the vortex and fill that space. Just to wind ourselves back a little bit, I brought you today to the camera to try to give gravitas and meaning to a slightly different field, which is natural therapies. Can you help us understand what gives you the qualification to enable somebody to think differently about how they can treat some of their existing conditions that they've got that are wrong with their health, Margie?
Well, shall I take you back to how I ever got into this in the first place and became aware of kinesiology?
That'd be beautiful. And you say kinesiology.
Yeah, kinesiology. So I'll explain what kinesiology is probably as I go along. But my youngest daughter is now 30. And when she was 1.5, she suddenly got a rash. And this rash spread all over her. And I went to the doctor and the doctor said, this is worst eczema he'd ever seen, and referred us to the hospital. And she was just red all over and very itchy, and it wasn't a nice sight. And as a parent, which you are, you know that you will walk over hot coals for your children. And when they're so helpless as that was, even more so. So I went to the doctor, I went to the hospital, I went to the specialists and all of this, and it was all taking time. And I thought, I'm not getting the answers I want. They're treating the symptoms, not the cause. And I have a very scientific-y, maths-y background. I've worked in finance all my life up until the last 10 years. And I thought, I've got to find something alternative. And I am somebody who was brought up to believe that meditating was woo-woo. I mean, this is so far outside my comfort zone to be looking at an alternative therapy. And I went to one place, another place, and just wasn't getting the results. And I was desperate. So eventually somebody said, there's somebody called a kinesiologist, 4 hours drive away, for an hour long appointment. You went, okay, I'm off. So we drove to the other side of the country, and he in 15 minutes told me what the problem was. And by the end of the session, we had a system that we were going to follow, dietary changes to be done, supplements to be taken. And he was a kinesiologist, and he saved my life. And I knew at that point I really wanted to do what he was doing. But as I say, I worked in financial side. At that point, children young, wasn't working. But I then went back into finance. And then, but I knew I wanted to do it. And then kinesiology has stepped in time and time again over the last 25 years to help our family. That's how I got into kinesiology. And I would never have believed that an alternative therapy could have worked, except for her firsthand experience. And then, as I say, it's reverberated throughout the family and helped us so many times.
So if I could just unpack that particular issue with your daughter, who was 1.5 at the time, what was the reason for that skin rash then?
Well, she had got herself a leaky gut. So what happens is in the gut, your gut lining is only one cell thick. And then you have mucus on the inside of that to be a bit of a barrier. But this had got holes in it. So those cells had pulled away. So then food, which isn't fully digested or the molecule is too big, gets through the gut wall into the rest of the body. The body then, the immune system goes, crikey, what on earth's this? It's a pathogen. Let's do something about it, and sets up a reaction. And that for her was manifesting, trying to get rid of the toxins that this was all creating through her skin everywhere. So she had to change her diet like that, yeah.
And often, you know, a rash or stress or a migraine, it's the body's way of, like a smoke detector in a fire, it's saying there's a problem here, and you need to be alerted to the fact that this could become something worse. And the body is such a brilliant way of telling you that there's a problem, but it's the ability of the clinician to, as you said, it's a symptom as a result of something that was happening, as opposed to dealing with the rash. A lot of people would say, well, we'll put some hydrocortisone cream on it, or we'll maybe give an antibiotic. But that's not necessarily the best way of dealing with something that is so obvious. Would that be fair?
Yeah, I would say that's dealing with the symptoms. It's not dealing with the cause. And they do have their places, because you do have to quieten everything down. But the body has gone into a big reaction, and it's like a forest fire out of control. So you've got to put the fire out, but you've got to take away the things which are helping the fire to keep burning. So that's why I had to take things out of her diet. And then you have to put things in to start repairing that. So that was her having to take some supplements. And those things sort of quieten everything down, really, take away the nasties.
Well, anybody listening thinking, well, what do I need to put in? I'll get to that. But I just want to strip back to a parasite and an antibacteria or a bacteria that exists inside us. First of all, how on earth does a parasite get into me?
Well, yeah, lots of ways.
And are they big, kind of, you know, what is that parasite, tiny, or can it be long or thin, or does it have arms and legs, you know? Help me unpack the difference between
lots a of microbe and a parasite. Yeah, there are lots of different ones. There are thousands, millions probably of parasites. They've been here on Earth longer than we have. They will be here after we've gone. They'll find themselves other homes. So, yes, you can have ones which are just one cell big, amoeba type parasites, but they can cause a lot of problems. So those are a very well known one is toxoplasmosis, which it tends to be picked up through cat poo. So if you're busy digging in your garden or something and you haven't washed your hands and then you just scratch yourself, you could just be giving yourself toxo. So that's a horrible one to have. Or you can get them, some parasites love living on a cauliflower or spinach or watercress, all these things which are terribly good for us. Okay. So, and a lot comes through pork, and some come through beef, but they can, you can get one from having a scratch on a rusty gate. Or by being bitten by a tick, say Lyme disease. Lyme disease will, it's not the tick itself, it's the saliva it puts in you because it's already been infected with the parasite itself. This is part of the system. And then the parasite just goes wild inside you having a ball. If they're ones you're eating, can I just tell you about the ones you might eat on food?
For anybody who's had their lunch recently or is about to have their lunch, and I apologize profusely.
Yeah, I'm very sorry for that too. But when the food goes into your stomach should be really acidic, really a low pH. And then that acid will kill the parasite. So then when it comes out of your stomach and off into your intestines, it's gone. Okay. But a lot of people are taking proton pump inhibitors, antacid type stuff. Okay. And that they think is people are taking it because they're getting reflux and it's burning because it's acid. So the doctor gives them something to make the acid less. Now, the problem with that is yes, it might help the esophagus make that feel less burny, but you're making the stomach acid less, more alkaline, less acidic. So it doesn't have the same capacity to kill the pathogens. So PPIs, if anybody on this call is taking proton pump inhibitors, then it would really be worth perhaps giving me a call because we could see I'm never going to countermand what a doctor says, all right? But we could work out whether or not actually that is really doing a worthwhile function. And then they can have the conversation with their doctor about whether they really still need it. Just an aside, sorry.
So let's just go back to things like pork or beef or vegetables. Is it fair then that an organic grown animal or crop would be prone to having more parasites on it simply because it hasn't been treated with as much insecticides and pesticides? Is that my naivety or is that true?
That's a really interesting question, Chris, and I'm not aware of any research which proves one way or another. My own take of that would be that certainly for the animals, if they've been treated and grown with plenty of space and non-organic stuff, is actually they're less likely to be carrying a parasite. They're likely to be healthier. With the crops, if they are being grown organically, yes, they've got more less pesticides on them, but they've got more of the natural stuff eating the things that we find pathogenic. Okay, so you've got more ladybirds eating the bugs and stuff. So there's a better symbiotic relationship going on in the soil there.
Got it. So I know when I used to have an allotment, every now and then, you know, I'd take the kids down there to understand how a crop grew. And then occasionally, within a week, they get the good old threadworms. Anybody who's had threadworms, they're a really nasty, itchy little thing. So is that an example of a parasite that lives within us as a result of something we've ingested?
Yes, it is. Nasty little things. You know, there's the over-the-counter Ovex, which can usually get rid of those. Funnily enough, just very recently, I had a new client, and she thought this is what she had, and very similar symptoms, but dare I say it's actually a tapeworm. So that hasn't been picked up by the doctors. And these, a lot of these pathogens will cause behavioral changes in us. And that for her, it's making her a lot more anxious than she needs to be. For her son, it was making him very angry at school. And so actually, it's really worth not just saying, oh, he's just having a lot of tempers, but thinking why? Or if you're feeling actually more depressed than normal, then think about what else might be happening. These things are very clever. They want to survive, so they will put themselves in situations to get what they need. So there's a very clever experiment, which is rather horrible, about the toxoplasmosis I was talking about, which comes from cats. Anyway, some in a lab, they gave it to some mice, and the mice stopped hiding from the cats. And that's because the toxo was, it knew the next part of its life cycle was to be eaten by a cat. So it made the mouse less aware of the cat and less risk averse. So it got eaten by the cat. So the toxo got its way. The mouse just had a bit of a shorter life than it might have done.
Well, just before we talk about how we can combat these things that may be in us that are harming us, are there any practical steps that we should be taking every day to try to make sure that we keep the bad stuff out and we let the good stuff in?
Oh, nice question. So, first off is to have that acidic stomach that I've already spoken about. That is one of your major lines of defense for stuff that you're eating. Then actually variety is really, really important. Variety in your diet. And I've been saying it for years. It's 30 different foods a week that you need to try and consume. And less of the fast carbs. And that's the sugar, the wheat, the bread, you know, the stuff which has been processed.
Well, why is that? I mean, I think I understand why, but why are highly processed and high sugar and high carb items things that we should avoid in terms of the internal system that we need to regulate our health?
It converts to sugar very much more quickly. So if something is only a few molecules long, which sugar is two molecules long, it's very easy for our body to break it down, access that energy. We seem to get the energy and then we have the dip in energy. So it's causing our body a lot of stress. So if you get flour or other fast carbs, which are only five molecules long, they can be broken down. When they get to 15 or 20 molecules long, we're calling it fiber. Same stuff, but it's that much longer. And that's feeding a good microbiome.
But how does that food then impact on the microbiome and killing off of bad parasites and retaining of good parasites? How does that food ingestion system create good and bad within us?
How does it create good and bad within us? The longer stuff, the stuff which takes us more effort to digest, is feeding our good microbiome.
Okay.
That is their food. Okay, so you want to keep them healthy. You want to keep feeding them their baby bio. The fast carbs, which get broken down really quickly, make our gut more acidic than it should be. And the bad stuff, the stuff that we don't particularly want in there, will proliferate in a more acidic environment. So you're feeding the stuff which isn't so good for us too much. So
back to that forest analogy I talked about. Every day our body's trying to create lovely trees and we keep putting stuff in that literally stops the trees from growing and almost puts a fire on our forest, and the body's always trying to make good trees and we just keep putting stuff in that kills the trees. Is that an easy way of looking at it?
Yeah, I think. You're just not giving it the right stuff. Yeah, making it feel very ill.
Now, therapists and your line of work, sometimes people just say, it's just a load of, claptrap and they're all hippies and smoking joints and talking about sunsets and sunrises. What would you like to say to that person that is a complete cynic on the fence, Margie?
I've never smoked a joint in my life. I mean, who would have thought back at the beginning of the 20th century that you could pick up your phone without a wire on it and talk or see somebody, well, us having a conversation here? I mean, you would have been laughed out of court, wouldn't you? It just wouldn't have, doesn't exist. Or think about the wind. You can't see the wind. You know it's there because stuff's blowing around, but you can't see it. But it's there.
Well, I remember, I think the story of Marconi, who created the ideology of radio frequency communication, was originally locked up because they thought he'd lost his marbles, because he said, we can talk to each other over radio waves. And now we would just think, well, that's ridiculous. But so was our naivety associated with science back then and what was possible. Society says, this guy's a crackpot. You've got to lock him up and sort his head out because he thinks we can talk over radio waves.
Exactly. It's fascinating, isn't it? And so it's changing our own paradigms, our own belief system, and opening ourselves up for, well, perhaps there is something in it. And I think a lot of alternative therapies, kinesiology being one of them, haven't yet reached general, they haven't reached that critical mass of people understanding it. And sometimes I have to sit back and go, my goodness, this, you know, I trained as an engineer and then as an accountant. This, to me, what I do now sometimes just seems barking mad, but I know it works. And it's just phenomenal. But there's so much energy around us and we just can't see it. And that's what I use for my work.
So where have we gone wrong? I mean, I remember my grandparents saying, eat your greens. And that was, we've had some old housewives tales or things that were passed down to us generationally. And I know from my own statistics that we've got a rising incidence of things like dementia, Alzheimer's, diabetes. So where are we going wrong with this in terms of, you're obviously very trained in therapy. It's the science that we're using to try to medicate the general populace. Is it flawed?
That's a big one to call it flawed. It's doing the best it can, but there's so much more going on now. So we've got a lot of parasites around the place. We've got a lot of viruses and bacteria, and yes, we might have been able to cope with a lot of those previously. There are a lot of toxins. We use a lot of toxins, even if you're eating organically. There's a lot of toxins on the soil. DDT, which was banned in the late 60s, early 70s, it's still in the soil. It still gets through into our food supply. And it's very difficult to get rid of. Glyphosate, which is Roundup, which is used by all farmers everywhere, is an incredibly difficult toxin to get rid of from the body, but it is ubiquitous. They're not providing anything of any value to our bodies. I think, yes, interesting, the education piece. I think you've got to start with the top, though, and get them to stop the decision makers to stop doing what the food companies want all the time.
Well, you make a really valid point. And I was with my son the other day, and we were at a motorway service station, and we looked around, and he said to me, Dad, why is it that I'm sat here and I'm wanting to do what you want me to do, which is eat well, and yet I've got Burger King, KFC, Pizza Hut and McDonald's as four outlets for me to pick from. And I know that none of those are really going to serve me, but I'm hungry. And I said, well, unfortunately, it's margins of scale, and they can operate the space because they've got the ability. And also, if you had a healthy food company here, the stock can't be kept on the shelf for days on end because it will perish. And it's a really oxymoron problem of how do you deliver quality at low cost versus high scale, low cost, when it, maybe another podcast. I'm interested. So let's just say I now have irritable bowel syndrome. I've gone to my GP and he or she has said, Chris, yes, I can confirm you have IBS. What should I do by way of following a traditional therapy path as opposed to the prescription recommendation that the GP might give me?
Well, the GP is going to, and apologies if there are, if I'm getting this wrong from the GP, because I've never gone to the doctor with an IBS problem. They're going to give you holding capabilities, ways of just managing it. Okay, you've got IBS. Well, you're likely to have it for the rest of your life. So that's kind of your choice. If I tell you about one of my clients who did actually have IBS for 15 years, and he kind of got to the end of his tether one time with it when he had to pull out of being his son's Father Christmas at their Christmas fair. And he had said he was going to do this months previously, but he couldn't trust himself to be there with this condition that he had. So we had some sessions together, and yeah, he had a particularly unpleasant parasitic thing going on, which he'd had for over a decade. We got rid of that one by using different remedies that then I don't have a license to do prescriptions or anything, so they're just remedies that I know work. And the next time round, he hadn't had any flare-ups. And the next time round, he still hadn't had any flare-ups. He had had one particular tummy feeling, but actually that was the last of the parasite going. Because once you've done the remedy, it can take a bit of time for the whole lot to go. But, he's fine now. Absolutely fine. No problems at all.
Wow. And how did you identify the parasite that was potentially causing the IBS?
Ooh, well, everything's got a frequency. Everything in life has got an energy about it. Okay. And we as humans have some of the highest frequencies, and then lesser things have a lower frequency. And because with my kinesiology, I can tap into your subconscious mind. You have a conscious mind, you have a subconscious mind. Your conscious mind is what you use for thinking and doing. Your subconscious mind is a history of the whole of you. And it's like a library, a database within you. And your subconscious mind knows exactly what's going on, knows exactly what the problem is, knows exactly how to fix it. It just needs to have that voice to say, this is what we need to do. And as a kinesiologist, I can pick up the vibration. This is why I say that it does sound weird, but once you've tried it, you realize that it does actually work. I pick up that frequency and can work out what it is that's going on inside, and then we work out what gets rid of it for you. And that could be different. So the same thing could have different remedies for different people, because it all depends on what else is going on in you as to how it's dealt with.
Well, 15 years of suffering and a couple of sessions, what is there to lose about diving into curiosity and thinking, well, perhaps, maybe, why not?
Yeah.
Just in terms of the whole ecosystem of our bodies, are there things that we could do that would enable us to be better at creating the good parasites and the good microbiome, as opposed to managing an environment that's going to enable bad ones to thrive. I'm thinking sleep, exercise, just general welfare. What are your recommendations for trying to be proactive about the way that we operate daily to enable our gut and our bodily systems to be thriving at their best?
Okay, well, stress. You need to keep control of your stress.
Why would that be the case? Sorry, just to kind of
okay. So stress will get your fight or flight response working differently, and it will, when you're stressed, as many of us are constantly, we are in that fight or flight the whole time. And if you're doing that, the body's going, well, if we're in fight or flight, there's no point in digesting that food, because actually we've got to get away from this danger, or we've got to do something, you know, big now to keep ourselves alive. So there's no point in digesting the food, because why bother? So your whole digestion, if you're stressed, goes way out of the window. Okay, so somebody who's stressed versus somebody who's not can eat the same food. One will end up with a tummy ache, the other one might be fine. Of course, there's a lot of other variables going on there as well. So to keep healthy, yeah, manage your stress. Sleep is absolutely vital. Eating well, having that variety of foods on a daily basis, not just always having the same sandwich at lunch or the same breakfast. Keep a chart, just work out actually how many foods are you having. And if you are at the motorway service station and you've got to have a McDonald's, well, never mind. But, if that's once in the week and you've put in another 28 foods during the week, you will be giving yourself that best opportunity of being healthy and making sure that all your stuff is working. So your pee is working, your poo is working, your sweat is working, your breathing's working, because they're the way that we get rid of toxins. And if any of those are getting jammed up, then you've got to find out why and do something about it. Get them working. Really important.
Couple of extra thoughts on that, and thank you for those recommendations on those interconnected processes of looking after ourselves. There's a huge movement out there now about the glucose monitor and the Zoe system, and I think there's something like, you know, a million people that have gone through that. And out the other end of that, because I know somebody who's done that, they get this report about all their parasites, the good ones, the bad ones. They've got a couple of unique ones that are very unique to them and amazing. My thought process was, well, that's great, but you know, what are we going to do with that information apart from going into the monthly recurring revenue of £50 a month of education? What opportunity is there for you, Margie, to say, well, I've got this long report and I now need to deal with this little, you know, this little bugger that is the bad parasite that's causing me these things? Can you help people hold their hand through that journey of report and intervention and now fixing it?
So it's really interesting how different people react to their foods in different ways. And I had a couple of friends married to each other, GPs, and they decided to do this. He was extremely fat and she was really quite slim. And so they did this with the diet. And they ate their crumpet or whatever it was. Her blood sugar went whizzing up and then down. His went, ooh, totter, totter, totter. So she was really miffed about that, because she was trying to get him to eat less carbs, but they weren't having the same effect on him as they were on her. So she actually had a blood pressure problem as well. But so she's gone on to the Zoe thing and now she doesn't have a blood pressure problem. So she's not taking those tablets. Big result. Whenever you have a test done for parasites, it doesn't matter if you pay for it or you've had it done by the GP or Zoe or whoever, they are looking at an incredibly narrow, small selection is the first thing. So you could have a whole lot of things which aren't on that list and aren't getting picked up. The other thing is that a lot of parasites, they don't sit in the gut. They're not just floating around in your blood. They're stuck in your liver. They're blocking up your gallbladder. They're in your brain. They're in your joints. For anybody who's got achy joints, very likely to be parasitic. So if it's picked up in a stool sample, then it's probably that's probably only 0.5% of people who have got parasites as being a problem. So and that's where, by using the sort of frequency aspect that I do, I will be picking them up when people didn't even realize they got them.
Well, that's what I call a mic drop moment, that I'm innocently thinking, well, all my parasites and my bacteria exist in my gut, and now I'm thinking they're in my brain, they're in my feet, they're in my liver.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I had somebody with going like this at all, who had this twitch going on under her eye here. Looks parasite. We were killing it off at the time, and it didn't want to be killed, so it was causing some problems, only for a couple of days, and then it went.
As we get older, and I kind of get out the chair and go, oh, and then my knees sort of go, and then I slowly find myself able to stand up. Is that just symptomatic of being old, or is there something else going on there that we should be inquisitive about?
Oh, definitely be inquisitive about it. I mean, I don't know if you know, but I sail a lot. We sail all summer, okay? And we've got people in our sailing club who are in their 80s and they're still sailing, And they're not just sailing kind of round a can on the south coast of England. One particular 82-year-old has just been up through the Northwest Passage this summer. So it's quite sensible kind of big sailing that they're doing. So he's able to do that, but then you'll have another 82-year-old who just, you know, can't get out of their chair. And you go, well, where's that happened? And it happens way back. And why is it that one should be healthy and one shouldn't be healthy? And it's all those little actions. A little action today leads to a composite into a huge, big difference, the diversity as we go on.
Mm. Well, the analogy I always use is brushing your teeth. You might skip your teeth brushing today or tomorrow, but if you continue to miss brushing your teeth the next 4 weeks, guaranteed, your teeth will fall out. And it's not the one missing teeth brushing exercise today that's going to be a problem. It's the manifestation of all those misses that will cause the long-term problem. And so many times of the instant gratification world that we live in, we are more inclined to make easier choices, which I think gives us a harder life, as opposed to harder choices, easier long-term life.
Very well put, yes.
Well, thank you very much. Now, there's got a lovely list behind you. Well, not actually a lovely list. If you just want to pick out one of your interventions that you're most proud of, looking at that list, and just maybe explain the word so somebody understands what condition that person came with, and then how they left you and what implication that had on them as a person. Anybody who's not watching, we've got gut issues.
I think I'll probably start at IBS or the gut issues, actually, because those, I would say that 70% of my clients first come with some kind of gut issue. And the gut, as we know, is very connected to the brain, and also it's feeding the rest of us. And there are so many, I mean, it's a long bit of kit. So there are lots of places where it could go wrong, and it could be a simple, oh, let's take somebody, simple manipulation on in your gut. You've got four valves. You've got one going into your stomach, one coming out of it, and one where the small intestine meets the large intestine, and one where the large intestine's meeting the bowel. Okay. And all of those are one-way valves, and they can get stuck Okay, so they should just open and let stuff through. They can get stuck open so stuff can come back the other way, which it shouldn't do. But actually, it takes a doctor a long time to really work that out. And there's really a very simple manipulation that I can do. And when I'm working with people, I'm just doing it over the internet. And I show them how to correct the valve. And then you get rid of a lot of, you can get rid of a lot of bloating. The whole thing becomes easier. A lot of wind issues. And just helping that gut go better. And I've done that a number of times. It's a lovely one to be able to do very quick.
Amazing. We're going to wrap this up in a minute with your sort of three takeaways, but you've got so much to offer with nearly 10 years of helping people. Is there something that I've not asked you that you would just be thinking, I haven't served the audience well enough by not telling them about this particular thought process that you've got, Margie?
I think I would just sort of say that, you know, I'm not saying that what I do is good or anything else is bad or that it's an either or it's an or. I would say that what I do is an and. It's really worth exploring alternatives. I mean, you know, I could still have a daughter who's got terrible problems. And another daughter was very close to having chronic fatigue. Took her to a kinesiologist, and that made the big leap forward for her. Mm. You'd say it's unconventional. I would say it's new. So it's reframing that in your mind and taking that leap. That's what have you got to lose, really, except for possibly a rather unpleasant condition.
Well, I know you say it's new, but there's a party being at the moment that thinks that we're almost coming full circle on the basis that the writings of Stoicism are becoming more popular. Meditation is becoming more popular. But these have been around with us for years and years and years. And equally, treating our bodies with respect is something that we had to do in the past because that's all we had. And now we've got quick fixes. We've got potions. We've got interventions. We've got supplementations, oils. Actually, the real nub of the issue is that we might be causing some of the damage that is then needed to be therapeutically intervened by specialists like yourself. So, yes, I see it's new from your perspective, but in a holistic view, perhaps we're just having a bit of a reinvention of what we knew back then, and we may be forgotten, and we need people like you to shout loudly and proudly about basics of what we should be doing to look after ourselves.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think I think if you go back 200 years, probably could have found people who could have done what I did, but then it was very much suppressed from not being conventional or what the government of the day wanted kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, you are a one-woman machine, but I'm sure you might have some space to be able to help somebody who is curious about one of those tick items, migraines, asthma, perimenopause, IBS. How could they get in touch with you, Margie?
Okay, thanks, Chris. Well, there's my website, which is nrg-nutrition, and you can find me on that. If you just put Margie Shabazz into Google, you'll find the website through that link as well. I'm also on LinkedIn. Love to link in with anybody who has watched this and here. Get some feedback of what they thought or questions that they might have that they'd like to me to answer or they'd like a bit of help with. I really don't mind.
And there's also a really good Parasites 101. You can download this and she'll give you a lot more information. You know, what are the main parasites? What do they mean by parasites? Really good informational material there just to try to educate you on exactly what could be going on here. And I put all those details in the show notes in terms of how we find your website and your LinkedIn profile. If we were to talk about your three takeaways, you've obviously got lots of knowledge and experience. what would be your three takeaways to urge somebody to be able to live a long and healthy life? It's not just a long life, but one where they can still be on the deck boards, hoisting the sails when they're in their 80s. They can get up without thinking, oh, my joints hurt or my back's killing me. What would be your three takeaways?
Well, the first one would be to, it would be banging on about having the 30 different foods every week, giving yourself the best opportunity to get some of the phytonutrients and things from your food, rather than trying to do it from supplements.
We're not talking 30 Big Macs, 30 KFCs, 30 margarita pizzas here, are we? Food
right
in its most natural state.
Yeah. I think there'd be quite a lot of overlap of non-food in there as well. One I put down here actually is having a gratitude journal. And it sounds a bit silly, but you know, sometimes one is so sort of running forward and stopping to appreciate actually what's just been. And I keep one haphazardly. I don't do it every day, but I do find that it just makes me a lot happier and a lot calmer when I do it. So I probably only do it a couple of times a week. So that would be a big, big one to do. And the other one is, of course, taking exercise. So when I'm sailing, well, you know, there's hours of inactivity and then there's some very intense activity. And that uses more muscles than I thought I ever had, really. And when we're not sailing, so we're doing that for 3 or 4 months a year. And when we're not doing that, I'll be going off to do stretch exercises and I'll walk every day as well.
So three great takeaways. So 30 good foods, gratitude journal and exercise. Margie, I want to appreciate you for all the things that you've done today to enable me to understand more about what's going on in here. And also thank you for giving unreservedly some expertise about how we can be more proactive about how we operate our daily lives to try to get rid of some of those really debilitating symptoms of life that you've got behind you. So thank you very much.
You're very welcome, Chris. It's been an absolute delight.
It has. Thank you so much. Remember, ladies, that we only have one life, as Margie talks about. So whatever happens, live with one life and love life, living life.
Well, thank you again for tuning in to Prime Your Midlife. We'll be back again soon. But if you enjoyed the show today, maybe just do me a little favour. Just like the show or share it with somebody that you know. And that'll help spread the word about living in midlife and priming yourself every day to be the best version of yourself. Thank you again for tuning in. And whatever you're doing today, have a great day.